Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Real World Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 136, embracing a no-guilt approach to nutrition and wellness. Hi everyone, welcome once again to another episode of Real World Nutrition. I am Shelley Riel, registered dietitian, the host of this podcast, and the founder of Real World Nutrition. So as I said, the title, and as you probably read, the title of this episode is Embracing a No-Guilt Approach. And this is just something I see, or I hear a lot about things when it comes to food, eating, our overall wellness, our diet approach, exercise. And I was reminded of this topic recently. And as a lot of you know, on Facebook, they bring up memories from past posts you've done years ago. And one of them was related to something I posted, I don't remember how long ago. It was a recipe for a no-guilt brownie. And my comment related to that no-guilt brownie was that any brownie that I eat is no guilt. So this idea that we have to make a special brownie so we don't feel bad about it, or any type of special food that's labeled no guilt, when really anything that we eat should not have guilt or shame around it. That's just not something that we need to do. That is really ingrained in a lot of people, though. That if we eat something with this perception or a societal norm that it isn't good for us, then we should feel bad about it. So I want to get into this a little bit more today and really encourage you to work on changing a mindset about food and guilt around food. So first, I want to address, what is guilt? Well, guilt, at least how psychologists define it, is an emotional response to a perceived wrongdoing or failure to meet specific standards. So the emphasis here is that it's the perceived wrongdoing and this failure to meet a specific standard, but based on what? Of course, there are laws and ethics that we tend to, or hopefully abide by, but really, what is that specific standard when it comes to food? In nutrition, in health and wellness, guilt often arises when people believe they've made poor food choices, when they have skipped a workout, or they've neglected self-care routines. And again, how is that defined? What is a poor food choice? What is a skipped workout? What is neglecting our self-care? These are things that are for our benefit. Yet who are we feeling guilty for? So this emotion can really significantly impact our mental well-being as well as our relationship with food. So I want to address food more specifically, of course, because this is Real World Nutrition. I'm a dietitian, and other things do come into play with this. I did mention exercise or self-care, but really, I want to address the food primarily. So why do we feel guilty about food, or why do people feel guilty about food? Well, you may have all kinds of answers here. The reasons are really multifaceted. There's societal norms. There's media influences. There's personal beliefs about food morality. And this all contributes to this phenomenon. So some of the things I hear is, why do people feel guilty about food? Well, people have shamed me for eating at McDonald's. I don't do it all the time. I don't eat anywhere and specifically all the time. But where I live, it is a very rural state. And if I've got an hour drive ahead of me and I really need something to eat and there's only one option, guess where I'm going? And people can look at me the way they want to, but I do not have guilt related to that. But people hear a name, hear a type of food, hear a brand, and they want it to be bad. But there are choices we can make in each of those situations. And it is not good or bad. But we are bombarded with messages that label certain foods or certain brands or certain restaurants as good or bad. And this can cause people to lead to feelings of guilt when we indulge in those so-called bad foods or these brands that are ruining our lives, which they aren't. But people often feel this pressure to adhere to strict dietary rules. And really, in the big picture, I share where I eat. I don't brag about it. I just mention it in passing sometimes. I don't talk about it that often because people have some feeling that I'm implying something by what I do or don't eat, when really it is all personal choice. If people choose not to have something, fine, but there shouldn't be guilt around that, or they shouldn't choose to not eat something because of guilt. There's a lot of times there's pressures for us to adhere to rules that causes guilt when we deviate from them. So rules around food. So food rules is a common thing. And this can be related to a specific diet. Lots of diets have these lists of no foods. So the list of foods that are off limits, or at least during certain phases of the diet. And this is something where I say, if there's a list of no foods, don't do that diet. That is a red flag for me, and I share that with people. If it's telling you you can't have something, what is that? This is based on a belief that some foods or types of foods are evil. And really, they're not. Having a food in moderation is okay. I'm not eating at McDonald's all the time, not even every month, maybe twice, three times a year. And again, it's based on convenience. But people have this idea or this label that foods are evil. I have seriously had people tell me that carbs are evil or carbs are the devil. And I am not kidding on that. And I assure you, while I've never met the devil that I know of, a banana is not likely how the devil will show up. At least that's my opinion there. So here's the truth. Food is not inherently good or bad. It just is not. Consuming a food should never elicit feelings of guilt. All foods can fit into a balanced diet. Of course, if you're allergic to something, duh, don't eat that. But there's been a dietitian that has often said, well, people shouldn't eat certain foods if they're allergic to it. Obviously, don't be ridiculous. But really, all foods fit in a balanced diet. And labeling them as, quote, guilt-free perpetuates this notion that some foods are morally superior to others. Now, granted, of course, some have more health benefits than others, but no foods have moral superiority. None. Additionally, going on about food being organic or non-GMO or from a specific store adds a layer of superiority when there is none. So I've had people say, well, I'm eating this organic apple and I got this from Trader Joe's and I got this. This is these non-GMO potatoes. And I'm just like, just say, I'm eating this for lunch. I eat trail mix. I eat nuts. I eat dried fruit. And I don't carry on about where it comes from. It doesn't matter what store I bought it from. It doesn't matter if it's organic or not. It doesn't. It's providing this layer of superiority when there is none. I eat trail mix. Yes, I have trail mix for snack. Period. That's all I need to say. And I don't even need to say it, but people have asked me. So really, it's really essential to shift our mindset away from this black and white thinking and embrace this flexible approach to eating. So I'm going to give you 5 tips today to help you navigate and move past these feelings of guilt. And I acknowledge by just saying it or sharing this, it's not going to switch on or off easily, because so many food rules are ingrained in people for a lifetime. There's nutrition dogma that needs to be changed in a lot of people's minds. So number one, practice mindful eating. So instead of focusing on rigid rules, restrictions, I've brought up this topic before. Mindful eating is tuning into your body's hunger and fullness cues. Allow yourself to enjoy all foods without judgment and savor each bite mindfully. And by tuning into hunger and fullness cues, may allow you to eat less. You can still enjoy anything you want and likely eat less. And something just the other day, both my husband and I, we were hungry. We ate our meal. It was really good. It was really good. We knew we had had enough, but we wanted more. And I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into the backyard and read for 20 minutes, like I suggest to my patients and clients, and see if I'm still hungry. And I was reading, didn't even think about eating again. So being mindful, not just in mindful eating, but mindful that sometimes we need to wait for that hunger cue to catch up. Number two, challenge food myths. Now, you may not realize something is a myth, but maybe question the validity of some of these food rules that may be in your mind. So food rules and myths can promote guilt-inducing behavior. So one example is, you can't have dessert until you've eaten your meal. Why? Think about that. Why can you not eat dessert first? Back when I worked at my university and there would be lunch meetings and banquets and things like that, and the dessert was always on the table before they served the entree. So a lot of times I would just eat the dessert. It was there. I was waiting for my meal. And people were horrified that I was eating the dessert first. I was like, so what does it matter the order in which we eat the food? I'm going to eat the dessert anyway. Why not eat it while it's here? Oh my gosh, the looks, the comments. I'm sure there was comments that were not said out loud. But really, educate yourself. Challenge some of these things, these food rules, but educate yourself about nutrition from credible sources. Debunk misconceptions that fuel feelings of guilt. Now, a lot of people may not know about all these things, but that's what I am here for. I debunk nutrition myths. I address this as the real-world nutrition approach. So, for example, organic isn't nutritionally superior, and neither is where you bought it. So just because you went to a specialty store or a store that charges a lot more doesn't mean it's better for you or that it's superior. Number three, cultivate self-compassion. Oh boy, treat yourself with kindness and understanding, especially when you're faced with these perceived food mistakes. Nobody is perfect. Occasional indulgences are a normal part of life. It is okay to eat the cake. It is okay to have dessert first. I don't eat dessert every day. I don't eat dessert more than maybe once or twice a week. If that, I don't know. I've never really thought about it. So having dessert before a meal, who cares? I mean, that's that self-compassion. I know this isn't as simple as what I'm saying. But how does one day, how does one meal, how does one food make a difference overall? Some people may be horrified that I ate the cake at all, let alone before or after the meal. Just, I can't believe you had all that sugar. Back off. Who cares? It's not going to kill me. That one dessert is not going to kill me. It's not going to make a difference overall. It's not like I did it all the time. So the overall pattern of our eating over our lifetime, over the course of several days, over the course of so much, is what's more important. Number four, reframe those negative thoughts. When guilt arises, when you have these feelings of guilt related to something you're eating, reframe your thoughts more positively. So instead of dwelling on what you shouldn't have eaten, focusing on nourishing choices and how they contribute to your overall well-being. So what else was in the meal that you ate that was well? What else in the day did you eat that was super healthy for you and really nourishing? It's not terrible all the time, is it? Is it terrible any of the times? Yeah, maybe you ate more than what you feel you should have. You ate more than what was comfortable. And how often is that happening? Number five, find balance. Find balance. Strive for balance in your approach to nutrition and wellness. Have various foods in your diet. Prioritize nourishment while allowing room for enjoyment and occasional treats. You define what a treat is. I'm the person who goes for the sweeter things. I'm the dessert person. I'm the brownie person. I'm the having the, not ice cream so much for some reason, but those sweet treats that are really good. I love those. I'm not the savory person that's going for the chips as much. It's different for everybody. That's okay. But really, have various foods, prioritize the nourishment. When you have those foods that are supposedly off limits, that restriction can lead to overconsumption when you have it. So adopting a no-guilt mindset towards food and wellness can help with a healthier relationship with your body and with your plate, with your food intake. True health encompasses physical, mental, and emotional well-being. And guilt has no place in this equation. A lot of us have guilt about so many things. Food shouldn't be one of them. Let go of the notion that certain foods are off limits or inherently sinful, evil, bad for us. Embrace the freedom to nourish yourself without remorse. I am so passionate about this topic. I get so sad, frustrated when people are just shaming themselves over a food choice that they've made when it isn't the major catalyst of their overall wellness, unless it's a consistently poor choice. So having a half a gallon of soda every single day is a consistent poor choice. That's a nutrient deficient food or beverage. But having a soda on occasion, what is the big deal? So embrace the freedom to nourish yourself without remorse. So I encourage you to shift your mindset, shift the conversation around food from one of guilt and restriction to one of enjoyment and self-compassion. optimal health and wellness starts with letting go of guilt, letting go of this nutrition dogma with all these rules, and embracing a more balanced approach to eating and living. That is, in part, my mission for Real World Nutrition. It's being able to enjoy the foods you love and still having health and still having wellness and a positive mindset about food. So with that being said, if this is something you really want to move past, you want to address your health, you want to be able to still include foods that you love without restriction of what you eat, I encourage you to schedule one of the free 30-minute introductory calls that I have by using the link in the show notes. And this is part of where my Real World Nutrition membership comes in, which is going to be opening soon. So I would encourage you to head on over to the link in the website for the Real World Nutrition membership and sign up for the notification on when that opens up, because that really is addressing a lot of things that people think there are food rules around, there's rules around, when there isn't. And one of the big benefits of the membership is a monthly Q&A where I answer people's questions that they have about nutrition. So again, head on over to the links in the show notes for the free introductory call and check out the information about the Real World Nutrition membership opening soon. All right, everyone, that is this week's episode of the Real World Nutrition Podcast. You take care and bye for now.